Hi, and welcome to Cloud Cover. Today is a special episode. We don't have any news because we're going to do a full segment on something that we're actually building here. So today I'm joined by this gentleman, fellow Australian. Would you like to introduce yourself there, James?
Hi, thanks, Nick. My name is James Baker. As Nick said, I'm an Australian. I'm working on it's not a product, it's a facility that we're building around Azure called the Service Gateway.
Right. So you've actually joined our team recently.
Yep.
You do have a long history in engineering at Microsoft, don't you? Where have you been? What have you built that these people may be using today?
Yeah, so over my time in Microsoft, I've been on a number of projects, mostly in the data space.
Right.
Worked in SQL Server for quite a bit, Server Integration Services, so data integration is a pretty big thing. Also worked on the early days of the HD Insight service. Most recently I've been over in Azure Active Directory, helping sort of cloudify Active Directory and bring all of that identity assets to the Azure platform.
Okay, so certainly a lot of things. So there's things out there that you're using that James has helped build or contributed to. And today we're going to look at Service Gateway. So let's talk Service Gateway.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess the thing about sort of building applications specifically on the cloud, but basically we can think of this more generally, is that you can sort of keep putting stuff into applications and they keep building up and up and up and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more complex.
Right.
And the inevitable conclusion of that is that they become less agile. They become very hard to move forward. And we've got a good old healthcare.gov as a great example of that, where the application itself becomes too big to be able to make any meaningful forward progress.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's a number of ways that customers and people that are running web applications typically address that.
Right.
But we, with looking at the Service Gateway, are taking one approach, which is around application decomposition and sort of breaking the pieces out of an application so that those individual pieces can be assigned along different technological areas or different organizational areas or just different teams so that those teams can more or less move independently of each other.
Okay.
And so you don't have this one massive monolithic roll up of an application and release it to
production, and it takes a couple days.
And you know, all of that integration, and believe me, you know, when we try to roll out SQL Server in the old Box product days, there were armies of people that was their full-time job. So we don't want to do that anymore. This is the cloud. We want to be agile. We want to be able to take advantage of just releasing stuff in time and just make it happen. And so decomposing the application is a great way around doing that.
Okay, and the Service Gateway helps us, you know, achieve that agility.
Yeah, okay, so once we've decomposed the application, we've got the application broken off into lots of little bits, as I say, by technology. So you've got a search area over here, and you've got sort of the CRUD operations over here, and you've got ordering processing over here, and you've got friends management over here.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, you still want to give the effect or the facade of a single application.
Right.
So you want to be able to coalesce all of those pieces together
okay.
through a shared namespace, through a shared sort of look and feel, through a shared authentication model. And so you need a centralized piece out the front of those decomposed areas that can act to bring it all back together.
So an example would be, this is rather large example, but for instance, Bing. So Bing has, you know, search, it's got images, it's got maps, it's got all those all those different sort of, I guess, services built in and sort of sitting behind one sort of public endpoint.
Yeah. And you see this pattern repeated time and time again with all of the large internet web properties. You know, you think of Facebook is a collection of different technologies, but they all come together under a single namespace. Bing, as you say, bunch of Microsoft properties around Office 365 and so on like that. So all of the big players know how to do this and they have to do this, otherwise they simply can't move forward. But now we want to sort of say, okay, well, some of the smaller applications, not at that sort of Facebook and Microsoft scale, but ISV applications, enterprise applications that are at that point where moving the application forward is becoming a problem,
right,
that we want to be able to provide some relief, and the gateway is a solution for that.
Okay, cool. So it looks like your screen's logged out. Let's
go log back in again.
All right, this is where Bob's magic editing comes in.
Right.
All right, so.
Okay, so well, let's, you know, now we've sort of talked in high level terms about it. I mean, you know, in addition to the sort of the overall value proposition of injecting agility into some of these complex applications, some of the sort of features that need sort of coalescing back together after you've decomposed things is that you really need to bring some things back together again. And for instance, authentication is a classic example of that, where all of the decomposed parts of the application still need to be verified, who the end user is, verify that they're authenticated. And so you don't want to have to repeat that operation in every component. You possibly could produce a library, a, you know, sort of a .NET API, or you know, a sort of a shared component that each of those components call. But a more services and cloud-oriented approach is to say, let's have a component out the front of all of those things where we can host those shared services. And especially it's sort of at the beginning of the request, you know, sort of authentication, sort of understanding who the person is, some of the session management, and at the end of the request, such as, you know, doing a little bit of rewriting to sort of fix up some URLs and so on like that. That's a great opportunity where we can have a component out the front of all, the application that goes and does some of those.
Okay, things. Telemetry as well.
Telemetry is another great example of that, where again, logging is so important to understanding how cloud and internet scale applications are performing, where the anomalies are, what the overall trends are. And really, you don't want the individual components to have to go and build their own logging systems and then bring all of those logs together so that someone can go and sort of crank some handles and get some answers out. Really, that's a shared requirement that can again live out the front of the application. And really, it's a pattern that is common enough that we can sort of just pick a piece up, drop it in, and say, okay, well, you know, IIS logs are a great, Clickstream logs are a great source of application analytics. Okay. Let's go and do something shared about that and sort of present the results in some consumable ways.
Okay. So let's. So we're addressing a number of cross-cutting concerns of these downstream web assets.
Yes.
In this sort of front door service gateway.
Yeah.
So let's have a look at what we've got today.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, so there's a caveat here that this is very early days for what we're doing with the gateway. We've got some bits here that we want to show you today. Yeah. But, you know, it's not fully complete. Most of the configuration of it is sort of fairly manual. Yeah. But we've got enough here that we can sort of show the direction, the future direction of where that is going to go, and sort of illustrate the concepts behind it and what the capabilities can be. And again, you know, we're doing all of this in an open source manner.
Right.
And so, you know, we're going to make the thing available so that people can go and deploy it and sort of do a, you know, an IT ops type operation where it's just a couple of clicks and off it goes. But we're also going to make it available as code.
Okay.
And so developers can get that, pull it down, deploy it themselves, own it themselves, enhance it themselves, and go forward like that.
Okay. Perhaps the best thing that I like about it while we're talking about that is that, you know, whilst you mentioned that there's configuration to be done, the developer or the, you know, IT pro that's utilizing this doesn't need to know anything about URL rewrite or ARR or you know, those general concepts. You've sort of abstracted out a configuration that basically makes it very simple for people to implement these complex, I guess, topologies.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a key point. I mean, one of the basic functions of the gateway is that it's a reverse proxy. And so that means that it takes all of the requests coming in from the client user
I think you've got a diagram
And redirects them out to various properties based on a set of rules. And so you can see here, all of the requests coming in from the user agent, goes through the gateway, it applies a bunch of rules, as mm-hmm. we see via configuration, and then directs those requests off to the components that are a consequence right. of that application decomposition.
Okay.
The technology that we've used to implement some of that routing capability is components within IIS today, such as advanced application routing mm-hmm. service and the URL rewriter service.
Okay.
And they're great, but sometimes, you know, they use regex expressions mm-hmm. and they're a bit finicky, and I know you love regex expressions, so do I, but you know, maybe not everyone does, and so we have provided some abstraction over those sort of underlying base technologies so that we can just craft some simple JSON configuration,
okay.
define the application in its decomposed units, which we call roles,
yep.
and then allow that configuration to drive the system.
Okay. So what's the portal you've got up here?
Okay, so as I said before, you know, we're going to have one sort of model of it, which is a sort of a non-technical approach. Non-technical is probably not right, but sort of an IT ops type yep. approach. And so we're going to have a portal where we can do all of our configuration, all of our deployment management, right. and some of the analytics that we talked about. And as we add features to the gateway and the sort of the whole application foundation,
right.
those features will light up in this console, and we'll be able to drive the application end to end.
Okay.
And so what we're seeing here is just a simple early day implementation of the console. Yep. And so we've got a home page here which just talks about some of the high level value propositions that we've already spoken about, a little bit of an architectural diagram, and then sort of takes you through a task oriented interface whereby you go and do your configuration, you do your deployment, and then, you know, sort of steps you through what you need to do. And so the first thing we need to do to configure a gateway is go and define the rules mm-hmm. for each of the roles in the application. And
okay.
as I said before, a role is a sort of decomposed unit of the application,
right.
which we want to be independent of each other's roles. And
okay.
so this mechanism gives us an ability for me as a role administrator, perhaps.
Yep.
So I'm, you know, for instance, in charge of the search area of the application.
Okay.
To come and manage my elements without having to worry about what the CRUD guys are doing or the order processing guys are
right.
doing. And so that gives me that independence.
Okay.
And so what we come in, we do by default, there's just a default role which just passes everything through, but we can define a role here, and we'll keep that search analogy going, where
okay.
we just say search, and we'll make up a URL. What have we got, Nick?
Maybe, I don't know, nickharris.net or search.something. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So basically that config you're creating there is saying if you're hitting the gateway that this is eventually going to deploy, if you have search in the URL segment, so my deployment whack search, then it's going to route to search.myapp.com.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And so that's a very simple, straightforward yep. rule.
Yep.
That gives us that sort of mapping. You haven't had to do any regex here
yep.
or ARR work.
Okay.
And so that's sort of very yep. straightforward there.
And that will just rewrite that downstream site as though it looks like it's, you know, on your upstream or service asset.
Yeah, the great thing about a reverse proxy
yep.
is that the downstream properties don't really need to know that
yep.
they're sitting behind a proxy. You know, they're getting the request coming through from the user agent
okay.
more or less the same way. It's got authentication attached to it,
yep.
but beyond that, it's sort of doesn't need to know about the gateway. It doesn't need to know about other roles in the application.
Okay.
And so that's a very simple example
yep.
Of a role. We've got one here, again, the console's probably not up to doing it here, but we, as I said before, the rules are just defined through JSON configuration.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got an example here where we've got a role, and we're missing the role name here, but for instance, this is just redirecting to frontdoor.azurewebsites.net.
Right.
And it's adding a feature which we call flighting. And
right.
so flighting's an interesting thing. Other people might know it as A/B testing. Other people know it as slicing.
Okay.
Whereby you might have multiple aspects or multiple versions of your same role,
okay,
deployed at one time, and you want a mechanism whereby you can route different traffic to different slices or flights,
okay,
depending on some sort of criteria. And okay, so the classic one is A/B testing, where right, you want to go and do testing in production, and so you put out a new version of your role or your component, yep, and you define a rule whereby 0.1% of traffic goes okay onto it. So that means that you've already done your sort of testing before deployment, so right, you know that the thing more or less works, but you really want to see yep how it works in an integrated environment. And so you can simply say, put 0.1% of my traffic right onto this new version, and you can monitor and get the telemetry off that and do the assessment on how right that new version's operating in a entirely production environment.
Okay, yeah, I've certainly seen that used in scenarios where people are testing two different layouts of, you know, an actual website, and then they take the stats that they've gathered back from that to see, you know, how many users who have hit site A, like, you know, the version that's site A versus site B, have sort of click through the workflow that they're trying to have someone execute, perhaps, you know, like to purchase a product.
Yep.
And then once they have that statistic, they can then flip to either A or B.
Yep, yep, and that's exactly right. And you haven't had to sort of simulate a yep whole bunch of traffic, because you're dealing with real traffic.
Yep.
I mean, other criteria that we use here, so simply you may not want to expose your real customers to random new versions,
yes,
is yeah that you can control it through, for instance, here we've got an example where you can say that if the source IP is coming from a particular subnet, yep, we'll route that off to a specific okay flight. I think we've also got the ability to pivot by tenant. Again, remember yep we've got the authentication wired through, so okay we know who the user is, and so therefore we know what tenant they're a member of.
Right.
And so, for instance, we can send all of Acme.com's traffic off to this new version, because we've got a relationship okay with Acme.com that allows that. We can get yep the feedback and the telemetry based yep on the live site, not having to worry about, you know, sort of dinky yep pre-production environments, yeah, which don't always work.
I could see that being useful for sort of SaaS-based scenarios as well, where you may have individual deployments per tenant, and then you're just using, you know, the tenant to route to the appropriate deployment for that particular
group. Absolutely. Yeah. Partitioning yeah or tenant partitioning yeah is a key scenario here, whereby for whatever reason you don't have the capacity to run all of your tenants out of a single instance, and so you need to partition up your tenant usage to specific instances yep and do that way. And so okay that's a capability that the gateway provides here.
Okay.
So, you know, and I guess through feedback and through mm us developing it more, we'll think right about new pivots in which to fly it on. And I see flighting as a really key feature of right what the service gateway is offering going forward.
Okay, so just to recap, today flighting, there's based on source IP, based on user,
yep,
based on tenant,
yep,
and basically sort of load, I should say, yeah, weighted round robin essentially for yeah A/B testing.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, so you can
50% here, 50% there, or 20% here, 80% there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's where we're at today. But as I say, we're yeah moving this forward, and so we'll think of new criteria going forward as
okay
well.
Okay. But realistically, the config is very simple comparatively to jumping in and configuring URL rewrite or ARR.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Even these sophisticated sort of capabilities, as you see, is a fairly straightforward yep configuration in straight up JSON.
Yep.
And once we've got the console fully featured, it'll just be simply be able to click through and just enter values in fields as well.
Okay, cool.
So that's sort of where we're at with the sort of the role configuration. Obviously, authentication, which was a thing that I touched on before, is a key capability.
Right.
We want to be able to have a shared authentication scheme. And so you can configure, integrate your entire application with Azure Active Directory simply by adding it to the configuration here. And then when you hit the gateway, depending on some authorization rules, there'll be an authentication challenge through right Azure Active Directory.
Okay.
The user will sign on with their credentials, and they can be directly out of the Azure Active Directory or a federated principle,
right,
which allows consumer-based identities. And so they'll be able to sign on. And so after that, the entire application, all of the roles behind the gateway will now know who the end user is, what okay. their tenancy are, and some of the extended claims that Azure Active Directory adds to the authentication
table. Okay.
And so that's a capability that the gateway just adds automatically for you by a couple of clicks of configuration, whereas, you know, having done it a million times myself, right. integrating AAD authentication is yep. not necessarily a straightforward thing.
Yeah. Although the new tooling in VS 2013 is pretty nice.
It certainly makes it easier, but it still means yep. that all of your components have got to align, how they're right. configured and so on like that. Okay. And sometimes that presents some lifecycle challenges yep. or configuration management challenges as
okay.
well. So that's the sort of security. And so once you've got that configuration in place, mm-hmm. you now need to go and deploy the gateway. So right. the gateway is actually a role in Azure. So it mm-hmm. lives as a hosted service. And so again, from the console, we can go and simply deploy that to Azure now, and that stands up as a first class website, yep. and it'll start doing the routing automatically by the configuration.
Okay.
And I guess one thing we should add is that once you've deployed it, the configuration changes can be made to the configuration and pushed out automatically, right. and we can lifecycle configuration around yep. as well.
So essentially, what you're saying there is, let's say, for instance, you have a new asset coming online and you want to update your gateway. You're essentially saying to add that, you just simply update the configuration and you don't need to deploy the service gateway again at all. It's just going to pick up and read that config and apply those changes
yeah,
live.
Absolutely. Yep. The deployment isn't touched, the yep. gateway isn't interrupted, we don't even right. recycle the roles. Mm-hmm. The rules just become effective directly into the gateway, and the gateway starts routing as per the new set of rules.
Okay, awesome.
So and so once we're deployed, we can go and probably look at a gateway. What have we got here, Nick?
There we go.
And so we're hitting the gateway. This is a gateway we've deployed previously,
yep.
but we're hitting it directly, and we can see here we've been challenged straight out of the box
yep.
for our Azure Active Directory credentials, and this is because we've configured for this particular gateway. So if I just sign in as get that in there, and all things being great, here we are.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this looks pretty similar to where we were, but mm-hmm. it turns out that this is the default page of the gateway itself. You noticed up here, we haven't added any segments.
Yep.
The gateway sort of says, okay, where's my default route? It just routes to the console
all
itself.
Right.
So if we add a route, which was...
IP test.
IP test. And so this was just an example of an IP-based flighting rule. And we can see here,
yep.
there you go, Nick,
it's
your blog.
Plug.
So it's detected that yep. Our source IP is coming
yep.
from a subnet that we
yep.
configured, and so it's routed directly.
Yep.
Someone else could have hit that IP test
yep.
and it would have routed to potentially different websites.
And this is actually coming directly from that config which you were showing just then, where
yep.
we had the subnet that we'd configured to rewrite to this place.
Yeah, and one other thing, so your blog doesn't know that it's sitting behind the gateway. You haven't
That's
changed
right.
anything in the blog to
yep.
To sort of reflect that point. But you'll see here that if we hover over some of the links,
yep.
you may not be able to see it, but if you see down in the tooltip down here, that it's automatically updated
yep.
that URL to reflect coming through the gateway
yep.
rather than directly addressing that backend component. So
right.
URL rewriting is a fairly key feature
yep.
that we have to do. We have to fix up the URLs to make them correct.
Okay, so for all intensive purposes, I guess to a user of this website, it looks as though it's the one asset with all these different places that you're rewriting to.
Yeah. And completely cohesive
yep.
Navigation potentially between
mm-hmm.
roles. Again,
yep.
you've got that shared authentication, you've got
right.
other shared services such as logging, so on like
mm-hmm.
that, but to the end user, they really don't know.
Okay.
So that's sort of the gateway. And I mean, it's not a great visual thing, so we can't sort of see too much. But, you know, the key thing about routing the roles, adding those shared common services that, that sort of almost compensate for the fact that you've decomposed your application is where it's all about. And, you know, if you sort of want to understand more, I guess we can go and look in the code on CodePlex or play with the tool once we make it available.
Okay.
I guess one thing that we can show, which is a bit visual, is some of the telemetry that we get off that.
Okay.
So one of the key things about having a centralized reverse proxy or gateway out the front is that all of the traffic for the application goes through that gateway.
Right.
And so that allows it to have a single view from a request perspective, and we can mine clickstream data and gain a great deal of insight about usage patterns, about sort of success and conversion rates, about how different users from different tenants, for instance, are using the application. And so this is all great information about maybe improving the application or maybe changing price structures or doing a bunch of other things. So it's a key thing now for web applications to have that telemetry and be able to interpret the clickstream data.
Okay.
And so what we've done in conjunction with collecting the web logs, and we're using just Azure Diagnostic to move those web logs off each of the gateway instance, and we remember we can be running multiple instances, so we get that scale out, and moving those into Azure Storage, and using the new HD Insight Hadoop service
that's recently GA'd.
Just recently GA'd on Azure. We can now go and process these potentially vast web logs and make insight from them.
And a lot of medium to large businesses are really sort of keying in and drilling down on this at the moment, like gathering data and essentially processing it to gain insights of, you know, what can we figure out from, you know, what our users are doing with our particular, you know, online web asset.
Yeah, and one of the key technological inflections here has been that, you know, the weblogs are the great source of truth, but their volume has started to exceed the capabilities of some of the relational databases out there. And so we're now turning to distributed computing, distributed analytics, to go and gain some of that insight. And so Hadoop, which was sort of invented at Yahoo purely for this reason, you know, it was ingesting Yahoo's clickstream and was driving their ad placement decisions.
Okay.
You know, substitute Yahoo and ad placement for any other analytic and any other client, and you sort of get the same sort of technical requirement, the same sort of technical solution via distributed MapReduce systems.
Okay.
And so having HD Insight here as a service means that we don't have to worry about spinning up a bunch of VMs. We can just simply provision, we're actually going to provision a an HD Insight cluster from the console. Say, you know, we want N number of nodes in that cluster. Point it to the weblog data that's already there, and so, you know, when you're dealing with multi-terabyte or even petabyte worth of data, you don't want to do excessive movements of that data, and so keeping it all in Azure Storage is a great way of eliminating that cost.
Okay.
And we can gain some insight. And so, you know, what we're doing here, we go to give the ability to provision new clusters or use an existing one, and one thing we will do here is that HD Insight's adding a new feature where you basically stand up a cluster on demand, because none of the data lives on the on cluster distributed file system. You can stand up a cluster on demand and then tear it down once you've got the processing. And so we'll be able to use an HD Insight cluster for, you know, a couple of minutes a week and gain some of this insight. Yeah. And so what we're going to do is provide probably a whole pile of analytic charts, pre-canned analytic charts in the console, and so we can see here, you know, unique visitors, usage by tenant, and sort of see some of the pre-canned sort of result reports we'll have. We'll also provide connectivity to Excel so that you can really drill down and use the new features such as Power Query and Power View in Excel to really richly mine the analytic data. Yep. And so that's a key element.
So basically, business users can use tools that they already know and love to, I guess, pull this data back, which you're capturing as part of the service gateway, and analyze them within Excel, which is something that they're familiar with.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a key thing for the HD Insights service, is that Excel, everyone knows Excel, and being able to use the vast reams of data, use Hadoop to compress it down and then bring it into a size which is workable in Excel is sort of a key enabling workflow for gaining insight.
Okay.
So that's about it. I mean, things that we're sort of thinking about in the future, geo distribution.
Right.
Having applications in multiple geographies is a thing going forward. That's probably more of an ISV concern than an enterprise concern. But enterprises are geo distributed, and so having that capability is a great thing. Having DNS capability, so we were thinking about how we can hook this into the Azure Traffic Manager, which will also work well with the geo availability as well. And so it gives us redundancy as well as sort of close points of presence, which are going to be sort of great things for application usage going forward.
I think one thing which you may have forgot is to show them where Codeplex is.
So
we'll put the links for the Codeplex project here, which has basically all the code from what you've seen running today, and essentially it's a place where you can go download it and get started.
As I said, we're doing all of this work in open source, and so the repository in Service Gateway is completely up to date. As we complete the console, there'll be a usage model where you'll just be able to provision a console from, say, an Azure website's gallery, and then work with it that way. But we'll always preserve this model where people can go and download the code, build the thing themselves, and deploy it themselves. And we see value in both models going forward.
Okay, so let's say someone downloaded this and fired up the solution. How would they go to deploy that, that first deployment from within VS, for instance?
Well, so once they've got the solution down into Visual Studio, we might take a risk, see what we can see here. And so this is the solution in Visual Studio.
So what are these main components that we've got here?
Oh, so we've got a cloud project. We've got a number of assemblies which are taking care of the dynamic configuration, which we spoke about previously. We've got the console, which we were looking at there. And then we've got the website itself, which is sort of more or less empty. There's no sort of logic in the website. Mm-hmm. But then the cloud project, which brings it all together and makes it a sort of an Azure deployable thing. Right. Probably the one of the points we could make here is that this will work anywhere. Mm-hmm. This doesn't rely on Azure or any sort of cloud specific thing to do. Right. And so there's a potential that someone could deploy the website and it would still continue to work and function as a reverse proxy, as this sort of front door capability. So it's not something that we're going to sort of lock in on an Azure sort of platform, but we're going to do our best to make it work best on Azure and continue to work elsewhere as well.
Okay, so from here it's just a simple right-click.
Yeah, right-click.
Publish.
Publish.
Yep.
Off it goes. I'm sure it'll...
We won't blast away whatever you've got there today.
Everyone's seen these screens before, but literally you've done that. One of the things you could potentially change is that there's only two configurable items in the cloud project. One of them is the location of the configuration. So the configuration is just a URI. So you sort of need to serve the configuration as JSON document from somewhere.
Okay.
When you're running out of the console serves the configuration.
Right.
But you could serve the configuration out of a database, for instance, and just as long as it was able to render it as JSON, that's fine. The other thing you can do is obviously just store static JSON files in something like Azure storage.
Yep.
And because it's just a URI, the application's capable of pulling on that.
I think your sample or this configuration you have here basically points to Blob Storage, right?
Yeah, yeah, you can see here, this is just a an Azure storage URI, and it just pulls the index file, and we can see here that that index file points to where all of the role configuration files are, because they are separate, and then sort of drives itself. The other thing, the other configurable item is the location of where your log files go.
Yep.
So that gives us all the tracing as well as the IIS logs, which we use for the telemetry stuff.
So it's basically just two configuration items and then publish it and you're done.
Way to go. Okay. Maybe you go and get a CNAME to make your URL attractive, then you're pretty much done.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show today. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
No, we're going to be sort of keep working on this. We're going to sort of talk about it as much as we can, and hopefully, you know, feedback we're coming in. We'll have an address to provide the feedback.
Yeah. Well, actually, feedback's very important to us. We'd like to hear about, you know, what your needs are for this type of service gateway. So, if you do have that feedback, you can certainly reach out to us direct, or perhaps the best way is via the discussion board on CodePlex.
Ah, yeah, right.
Yeah, so if there's, you know, if you pull it down or if you're stuck fumbling with it or whatnot, let us know and, you know, we'll respond to that and get you up and running. But in addition, yes, any new functionality that you think would be valuable for your scenarios, please do let us know what that would be.
Yeah.
Yep. So thanks for watching. It's late in the afternoon. James tends to not wash too often. But thanks for watching Cloud Cover, and like us on Facebook. Twitter links are down the bottom if you want to follow the show. And we'll have links to the Service Gateway CodePlex project so you can grab it and get started. And James doesn't have a Twitter account. It's something we're going to have to change.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks a lot. Bye.